Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Friday night, I watched a movie. It was a good movie. It was a long movie, 2.5 hours, but it was a good one. It was about the capture of Osama bin Laden. It's called Zero Dark Thirty. Any of you seen it? You know what the most memorable part of the movie was? It was a brief half-second view of Osama bin Laden's face. You're shaking your head, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, because the whole movie, long movie as it is, it's all preparation to get Osama bin Laden. And the viewer of the movie watches it, as soon as you see the face, you know, we got him, right? Yeah. Yesterday, last night, I went to a wedding up in Knoxville. Very traditional, beautiful wedding. A long wedding, 2.5 hours. No, I'm just kidding. That's the movie. No, it's a half-hour wedding. Beautiful wedding. Traditional wedding. Now, not at this wedding, but take notes, Laura. Some weddings, they have veils over the faces of the bride, you know. And they enter the church in the back of the church, in the nave, they call it. And they process towards the chancel or the altar. And then, guys, what do we have to do? We take the veil off the face because we want to make sure we're not marrying the cross-eyed sister, right? The face, a very important part of the body, right? You can tell from a face if someone is alive, awake, asleep, happy, horrified, or anything else, laughing or lying. You can tell by a person's face how dedicated they are to a particular purpose. And in our gospel today, we hear about Jesus' face and how dedicated he was to a particular purpose, the mission of God, the cross. And in the text, we hear from chapter 9, verse 51, when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face towards Jerusalem. And then they say it again, verse 53, but the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. You know, it's one thing to make up your mind about something, but it's another thing to set your face towards the task. It's kind of like when you are out looking for a home and you say, I really like this house. That's one thing. You make up your mind. But it's another thing to sign your name on the line that says, yes, I will buy this house, right? Or if you're signing up and enlisting in the army, the military, it's one thing to make up your mind and say, yeah, I think I'm gonna serve the country. It's another thing to sign your name on the line that says, yes, I am going to be bussed off on this date. With Jesus' face set towards Jerusalem, he's signing the line. He's setting his face. He's saying, I really will die and rise for sinners. I really do what I would come to do, the mission that God sent me to do, go to Jerusalem to die and to rise for this God-forsaken world, for this sin-filled, morally lax, God-rejecting world. Jesus is actually going to do what the Father told him to do, go to Jerusalem to die on the cross and rise again from the dead. And his death is for you and for me. He's going to do it for God's love for us. He's committed. He set his face towards Jerusalem. This face-setting stuff Jesus does helps us set apart Jesus from all other servants of God. I find it interesting in our Old Testament text today from 1 Kings. Did you hear about what Elijah did, Paul, as you read? I was thinking about this. Elijah wrapped his face with a cloak. You can't really see Elijah's face when he's talking to God. He's a different kind of servant, you might say. But Jesus, in the text, you can hear multiple examples today of how other people who want to be zealous like Jesus is for God's mission fail, and they can't do it. And we hear about it in the text. Some disciples, seeing how true Jesus was to the mission from God, say, I will follow you wherever you will go. And how does Jesus respond? Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Our Lord will not rest or hide But other people, other disciples, they will rest and they will hide, especially when push comes to shove. We heard it during Passion Week. Another said, "Just let me go and bury my father." Jesus says, "Leave the dead to bury the dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Family presents a problem, a divided interest for a servant of God. You either serve the mission of God or you serve man's mission to live a human normal life. Who will truly welcome Jesus as his family and honor the Father above as his first and foremost loyalty? And the answer to that, no one. No one. For we all have other gods before God's face. According to the scriptures, every time we sin, we prove it. One disciple said, a little bit wee different version, he said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me go and say farewell to my house." Jesus responds, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That man's face is not fully on the mission. He only wants to follow the Lord on his own timing and after his own preparations. But God demands and sets the timing. And he will prepare the way." Ours is a question of, do you believe or not? Will you set your face towards the mission or the face towards your own family and life? And so, with everyone knocked down and disqualified to be fit for the kingdom of God, only one man, with his face set towards Jerusalem, still journeys on. That's Jesus. Where others failed and fall short, he fulfilled. Better than that, he prevailed in the mission faithfully to go all the way to the cross. With the dedicated face of a Savior and the heart and the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Note it doesn't say the glory of God in our faces, but in the face of Jesus Christ. No one is fit for the kingdom of God except the one whose face is known as Jesus. Through him, forgiveness and the knowledge of the glory of God is ours. Now it is our privilege and our joy to set our faces towards Jerusalem, our faces towards the cross, too. Two-faced liars that we sometimes are. For at the cross we have forgiveness, God's love, the fulfillment of what we should do and what we deserve in Christ. He's our substitute. He's paid the price that we can go free, forgiven, servants, beloved people of God. In fact, the cross makes us all one in Christ, forgiving people. People with enough forgiveness to forgive others. That others may know the oneness that we are in Christ with dedicated faces on the Lord through the forgiveness of sins. May we take up Jesus' example. May we follow Jesus to the cross. For there, God shines his face upon us and grants us his peace. Peace knowing that we will have risen faces and smiles of delight when we see the face of God in the end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.